In the Course of Miracles, one of my favorite things, it said, Jesus became the Christ when he saw the face of God on all his brothers and sisters. I look around and I see the face of God. How amazing is that? And sometimes I forget that. I forget that ultimately I'm one with God. God is one with me. And I am one with all my brothers and sisters. Can I give you a very personal example? So I was the light. See, the light is shining. It's like the Damascus Road and Paul, blinded by the light. Isn't it good just to laugh, to be around just positive, like-minded individuals expressing our divinity and our oneness, knowing that ultimately I believe that God is good and God is all there is. So this is kind of an interesting location. So I was kind of driving around, checking out Main Street, and then the directions took me over behind there, and you can't like go that way. Oh, yeah. So I was driving there and I saw this guy in a small town, you know, friendly people. I live in South Carolina, which people, they're so friendly, right? And I saw this guy walking and I waved to him and he didn't wave back. So my first thought was like, but I said, once again, the face of God, face of God. My background is fundamentalist Christian and grew up with this great tradition of learning the Bible, this, I think, the greatest premise ever, that God is love. Unfortunately, in my tradition, they didn't stop there. They added, but. Has anyone ever heard of God is love, but? And thankfully, through this journey, this evolution, this growth of awareness, I believe there's no buts with God. And I believe one of my missions is to explain and teach and show the Bible from a metaphysical interpretation. You don't have to raise your hand, but has anyone ever been exposed to a rub the wrong way by how someone used the Bible? You know, I think in a sense, if we can use a metaphor, fire, is fire good or is fire bad? Use fire to, one of the greatest adventures of humanity, to cook food. It allowed us to now eat, you know, raw meat and a whole number of things, give you warmth, but yet it can also cause destruction. And I think, unfortunately, so many people have used the Bible to contradict that beautiful truth that God is love. That comes from 1 John 4:8-16. And the Greek word in there is Theos asten agape. Now you're perhaps familiar with that. That word agape is the Greek word. It was a new word for love. It means unconditional love. And what a great, the radical love. Think about this. This is a beautiful area. Am I right? Am I right? It's beautiful. And I'm sure at night you can really see the stars. Do you ever just look up the stars, the vastness of it? And think, the creator of that loves you unconditionally. It says in the Bible, we love God because God first loves us. Meaning what? Meaning God loves us unconditionally because I believe God created us. Unfortunately, sometimes we live in this illusion of condition. I don't know about you, but how many have ever been, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many have ever been in a relationship with conditions? attached to love. One of the greatest examples, and I think Jesus did not come to, wasn't crucified to save us. And one of the traditions I am right now is unity. And even in science, I think it was Ernest Holmes or someone said that Jesus is not the great exception, but the great example. And on that cross, I can't imagine what that was like. Think about it. He came with a message of love, and people turned against him. How's that possible? Think of Gandhi. Think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And on that cross, and all his disciples abandoned him. For 3 years, he was in fellowship with them. We'll never leave you. Imagine that, the loneliness on that cross, to the point he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've been there before. We hear about these tragedies in the world. God, where are you? Our personal tragedies. God, where are you? And on that cross, I think one of the greatest messages for me, when Jesus was going through, and I can't imagine the physical pain, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to me, if Jesus can forgive on the cross, when that guy didn't wave back at me, when that person cut me off, when I'm in that relationship and going, I can what? Forgive. Forgive and let it go. So back to that Greek word, the Greek, Dios asten agape. What's interesting, the Greek word for God, Dios, is both masculine and feminine. Wow. Now, one of the most used words in the Hebrew scripture for God is Elohim, which is in masculine. What are we seeing here from the Old Testament to the New Testament? If you ever read the Old Testament, it can get pretty gory, right? What do we see from? We see a movement, an evolution of spiritual consciousness, awareness. You see, so often in the Old Testament, they had this idea of this God that would punish, an angry God if we didn't obey him. And what's interesting, Jesus came with this message of Abba, Father, this loving God, this accepting God. I wonder sometimes, 2,000 years since then, have we grown in more consciousness as society or less? Huh. But here we are with this great truth that God is love. So asten is, in a sense, equal sign. So God is love and love is God. So whenever, and not just love, but unconditional love. But let me ask you this, more of a dialogue. How would you, and I don't know if it's even possible. I think this is what happens a lot of times. The Course in Miracles says this, God does not understand language. I was like, that's kind of a weird thing. But you think about it, ultimately, what are words? Yes. Exactly. That's what it's talking about. A word is a collection of letters. How do you describe an infinite being in the finite body? See, I think what happens sometimes, so like the Bible, especially the Old Testament, even the New Testament, it was written thousands of years ago when people thought that the earth was the center of the universe. They didn't know about gravity. They spoke in allegories and metaphors. And what's interesting, so often what do? How many are familiar with the term zeitgeist? So basically, it's we use our understanding to judge past people and events. So what me, so often we go to the Bible or and we read into from our perspective from 21st century America. For example, you've all heard about Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You've heard that? Don't worry about tomorrow. Your Father will provide for you. I think about it sometimes. 2,000 years ago, where did you get food? Think about it. There was no refrigeration. There was no like go to the grocery store, go to McDonald's. I'm not thinking about even 200 years ago, if you're traveling across the country, anyone ever in school ever play Oregon Trail? But the Oregon Trail, can you imagine being a pioneer back in the day? Like, where do you get food? 2,000 years ago. Wow. So let me ask you this, as we're just reflecting, and I haven't really even started yet. We're just, you know, I'm sharing from the heart. How would you, once again, how do you begin to define that which is undefinable? So let me ask you, how would you define God?
Light.
Yeah. See, I think in the essence, when we say God, it's almost a generic term of that which is indescribable. And I think that is the beauty for me when I go to the Bible, all these different ways that the best they did trying to explain that which was infinite. You see, I believe with God, there's no right or wrong. Unity has five main principles. And the first one is God the good. How many believe God's good? Growing up in the fundamentalist church, we had this thing, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. And I believe that. I also, Unity, also Course of Miracles, it's non-dualistic. You probably all familiar with that, non-dualism versus dualistic. So dualistic is this idea of right and wrong, light and darkness. So the Course of Miracles says God is all there is, and everything else is ultimately an illusion. And I look upon the world. Let me ask you this. Does evil exist? Is evil real?
Depends.
I mean, if, last week I was speaking for Unity Church, and I said, if we say God the good is an all-powerful, then why do these tragedies happen? Like the school shooting. If God is all powerful, why did he stop that? Yeah, I believe that. So I believe that in order to have unconditional love, you have to have, and you just said it, free will. Otherwise, it's not unconditional love. But here's what I begin to question with now, as I'm making this transition from motivational speaker to a minister, and on a very real basis, when you're counseling a mother who lost her child, is that answer enough? Sometimes we just. Absolutely. I think sometimes as humans, we like the black and white. And perhaps so much of God, so much of life is a mystery. A mystery. And I think sometimes that's why certain people are drawn to certain groups. and certain leaders because they give them this definite answer. For example, I asked my mom, who's like, she's like Mother Teresa. Absolutely. Like, my dad, a whole other case. No, the balance. I play. But she is has a fundamentalist mindset, and it's because of the devil. The devil did it. The devil controls this earth. But Jesus is going to come back one day. He's going to have a big old sword on a horse, and he's going to kill everybody who's opposed to him. I'm like, well, didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? That seems a little bit contradictory. So here, let me share. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I think this is the ultimate hope. And it's in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation in the Greek actually means to reveal, uncovering. Uncovering what? The illusions of separation. See, I believe that's what the Bible talks about. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And when he said that, the religious leaders wanted to stone him. Blasphemy. No one can be one with God. But not only did he say that, he says, you also are one with God. Paul said, don't you know you are the temple of the living God? I ask you, where is God? In here. And how often am I looking out there for God? God, where are you? I love this verse. I love it. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I believe that's the hope. Now, how's that play out? That's the mystery. But notice it says all, not some. Not those who believe a certain way, all. Here's a great example I like to use. My mom made this for me. I think it's a great example of life. So I don't know if you can all see this. It's a little craft thing. And you can see it's all messy, right? For those online, it's messy. It's kind of embroidered. I don't know if it's that elaborate, but kind of. How many ever experienced the mess of life? On September 11th, 2002, a senior in college, I was diagnosed with cancer. One point spread the fluid in my brain. I slipped to unconscious state. When it first spread the fluid in my brain, I had this doctor. It was in January 2004. I'll never forget it. Had these massive headaches. I was waiting for a donor for a bone marrow transplant. I'm waiting for some test results. Heard a knock and the doctor came in, who I later named Dr. Doom. I don't know if anyone's ever experienced some Dr. Dooms. These are the people who brighten the whole room as soon as they leave. I was 20, 25 at the time. And she came in and she said, Matt, the cancer's come back and it's spread to the fluid in your brain. So at that point, I really try to have a sense of humor in life. I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I'm going to need a brain transplant. I don't know if that was funny. I'm still looking for a donor. Life is wild. And then she said, you have a less than 10% chance of living to the age of 30. And she walked out. Yeah, she got up and she walked out. What? Absolutely. You see, a doctor can give you a diagnosis, but the prognosis is up to who? And God and you and I were one. But imagine if I would have bought into the words of Dr. Doom. You see, in Proverbs, it says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And one of those important things that we can do is to speak words of life and love to others. And Paul writes, well, actually, Paul did not write this, but anyways, that's a whole other thing. But in the book of Romans, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So much of this world is like Dr. Doom. Am I right? Am I right? And it's so easy to get caught in the fear. Like, anyone watch the news lately? I mean, it's insane, isn't it? It's just like they feed off of fear. It's like the Jerry, remember that show Jerry Springer? When I was diagnosed with cancer, 2002, it was the number one most popular TV show in the world. Because we just like attracted to that stuff. And I think the news has copied that. Like they got to outdo themselves. Less than 10% chance of living to the age of 30. So when I turned 40, I went to the grocery store, got a bottle of wine to celebrate. Well, that was, I guess I should, okay. That was great. This was about laughter. And so I'm checking out and she asked for my ID, the clerk. And I got so excited. It's been such a long time since I've been ID'd. This is like the best thing ever. And so I'm reaching in my wallet to get my ID. And she says, oh, never mind. I see gray. But then I think about it. What a blessing to live long enough to get some gray hair. Wow. It's truly all a perception. All a perception. And I truly believe one of the reasons why I'm here today, because at one point after I was told less than 10% chance of living to the age of 30, they put a special device in my head to administer the chemotherapy, got infected. One of my kidneys began to fail. My temperature rose over 104 degrees. And Valentine's Day 2004, I slipped into an unconscious state. And Dr. Doom had the nurses call my family and friends because they didn't think I'd live. And here I am. I believe in part because someone needed to hear something I had to say, or someone needed to hear a laugh, or you just needed to be exposed to my life and my force and my energy. I believe this every day that we wake up is because you have a purpose left in this grand adventure called life. I believe this. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. I believe as eternal, perfect, whole spiritual beings, we are blessed to have this physical adventure called life. But I don't know about you, so often I reverse it. And I think I'm a physical being and I have the occasional spiritual experience. I want to share this with you because I just recently uncovered this. Here's the question I'll pose. I like this form, right? Do you believe, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but do you believe Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead physically? Physical body.
Nope.
Very strong. So what's interesting, the Bible and New Testament is not in order as it's written. Revelation was not the last book written in the New Testament. Matthew was not the first. In fact, before the Gospels were ever written was 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is one of the first mentions of Jesus being seen, resurrecting, and being seen by other people. It says Jesus seen, he was seen by Cephas. He appeared to the 500, depending on your translation. And so I was thinking about this. Did Jesus rise from the dead? So I went and looked up the Greek word for seen and arrived, or seen and appeared. And the Greek word is not talking about a physical seeing. It's talking about a mental seeing. I'm like, whoa, That's a big difference. Interesting. You see, we live in this great, you see, for so many years, in order to understand the Bible, the Greek, you had to know Greek. Now we're blessed. You just go on the internet, it'll tell you the Greek word. What I'm saying is this. We live in the greatest information age ever. We've never been exposed to as much information as we have. And at the same time, I think we're one of the most confused societies ever. I think we have an information overload, but a lack of wisdom. So I have like 3 pages to go over. I haven't started yet, but it's okay. I do want to share this with you. It's my concept when I was working on my dissertation in metaphysical Bible interpretation. And it's something I kind of created and I want to share with you. So I believe, I call it the metaphysical Bible. Now, anyone want, what's your definition of metaphysical? Spiritual? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, meta means beyond the physical, beyond the physical. So Paul said, not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So metaphysical Bible. Now, let me ask you this. How would you define Bible? A book. Okay. Okay. Collection of books. Okay. So what I... Okay. Stories. Okay. So for me, this is my own little thing. So you guys are one of the first ones to hear this. Ever catches on. Metaphysical Bible, beyond the physical. To me, the Bible, some people say the Word of God. I believe the Bible is that which points to God. God defined as what? Unconditional love. This is my premise. So the metaphysical Bible is that which points to God. God being unconditional love. I believe there's three parts or three metaphysical Bibles. The Bible of nature. It says in Romans that we can know God from nature. Let me ask you this. You look at the mountains, the stars. Do you ever experience unconditional love? Inspired. I believe that is the Bible of nature. So we have the Bible of nature. Then we have the Bible of text. I believe this points to an unconditional love. I know a lot of people have used it in a different way. I don't think that's a right interpretation. But I believe the Bible of text, real quickly, you know, right now there's 4 different versions of the Bible as far as how many books are in there. There's the Catholic version. They have a couple more Old Testament books. There's the Greek Orthodox. The Protestants, traditionally, how many books of the Bible? 66. The Ethiopian Bible has 88. Isn't that interesting?
Versions?
Different books. Books. We're not talking about translations. There's about how many of those? Yeah, that's a whole other thing. So we have the Bible here, the metaphysical Bible. So metaphysical Bible, the Bible of nature, the Bible of text. And I believe the Bible of text contains 3 parts. The Old Testament or the Hebrew scripture, the New Testament or the Christian scripture, and the third is the universal text. It says in the Bible that all scripture is inspired by God. Do you realize the Bible has other scriptures in there? The book of Enoch, other books. So for me, this universal text, Bhagavad Gita, Course in Miracles, Conversations with God, the Quran, all these other texts that point to unconditional love. I think one day what I want to do is create a Bible, have a whole, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then have a whole section like a journal. Where you write your own. Because ultimately, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a collection of people who wrote their experience with the divine. So you and I, through we can create our own universal text, our own Bible. Now, here's the exciting part. The Bible of nature, the Bible of text, and the third Bible, the metaphysical Bible, the third part is the Bible of you. It says in John 1:16, how no one has ever seen God. God is made manifested through his begotten. So you point to, you become the Bible of, the metaphysical Bible of you when you point people to unconditional love. When you choose love over fear. You see, for me, I see myself perhaps as a metaphysical Christian because, once again, I value the Bible. And in creating this, leaving room open for everyone. Because it has to include everyone, because God is all there is. I want to wrap up with this. Oh, can you actually hand me my backpack? Oh, that's so heavy, right? Sorry about that. I want to show you something kind of cool. I think, what time is it? Is it glare? Okay. There's a glare. I know. I couldn't tell what time it was. I was like, so let me, I'm going to show you something here. I got to get a pin here. Where's my pin here? So how many ever heard about, when I was growing up, there was this song, and it was, "What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow." So I grew up with that song about the blood of Jesus. And so I'm like, okay, why does the Bible talk about the blood of Jesus? What is the blood of Jesus? And how can I mean, it's just like, okay, let me ask you this. What is sin? Do you believe in sin? Are you a sinner? I believe. He's like, yeah, I need that blood of Jesus. Okay, so sin in the heart make means to miss the mark. For me, I look at sin like an illusion. It's an illusion that I'm separate from God. Evil, E-V-I-L. You spell that backwards, what's it spelled? Live. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, life more abundantly." The message of Jesus is that we are all one with God. So I believe the great illusion is that we're separate from divine source. We're separate from unconditional love. And then when we're separate from that, we then become separate from our brothers and sisters. One of the oldest stories in the Bible, Cain and Abel. We've been doing it ever since. Evil exists when we forget, when we are in the illusion that we're separate from our brothers and sisters. So I have a dry erase board here. This is a permanent marker. What do we know about permanent markers and dry erase boards? You don't do it, right? So we're going to write the word sin. But once again, sin is just being an illusion. So here it is. I'm going to try to erase it. I can't do it. Oh, it don't have like a... It won't erase, right? There it is. It's very real. I think sin's an illusion. I don't think it's real. It looks real. Evil looks real. Our body seems real. Now, this pin is going to represent the blood of Christ. I believe metaphysically the blood of Christ is the Christ mind, the Christ consciousness. Christ means what? Anointed. To me, Christ is seeing the face of God on all our brothers and sisters. Ultimately, the Christ consciousness, the Christ mind, the blood of Jesus is unconditional love. And unconditional love covers up the illusions. It covers up the illusions, covers up sin. Does anyone have like a Kleenex or anything? Like unused? No, thank you. All right. Permanent marker. It can't be erased. We showed it. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. We cover it with the Christ consciousness. Look what happens. But sometimes it doesn't always go away, right? Paul says, daily I die. Daily I'm crucified to the mind. Daily I die to what?
No.
The separation, the hate, and the illusion. So sometimes we got to go back and get like a second dose to cover that, to cover the illusions. Daily to renew our mind. How cool is that? So what I'm trying to, I guess, to leave you with, and it's just, as I'm starting out on this journey of going through the Bible and offering a different interpretation, especially in our country, you know, there's been this really this, the Bible's been used to divide, to condemn, to hate, to judge. And I think there's a different way to look at it. And I feel called to spread that. But let us go in unconditional love. So thank you.